amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, Son, why hast thou done so to us? Behold, in sorrow, thy father and I have been seeking thee. And he said to them, How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? And they did not understand the word that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. And his mother kept all these things carefully in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and grace before God and men. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Hail Mary, full of the Holy Family, so that Catholic families would follow this example and be truly good and holy families. Now you know the vocation to the priesthood of religious life, giving one's life to God alone, is indeed a higher calling than that of the married vocation. But for those that God has not called to the religious life or priesthood, which are many, he calls most to this very holy vocation of marriage, which is the one blessing of the Garden of Paradise that was not lost when Adam and Eve fell. And what a holy vocation it is, marriage. God made it to bring children into this world. You parents, you bring souls, you cooperate with God in bringing new life into this world. Souls that didn't exist before and which now will have an eternal destiny somewhere. And so, for good or bad, you raise children that will spend somewhere, will spend eternity somewhere. And what a blessing it is if you can say that in your home, it is a holy home where the children learn the things they need to get to heaven. I want to focus today on speaking of that importance of the early training of the children to virtue. There was, when Pope Pius IX, or the 11th, wrote his famous encyclical on the Christian education of youth, which every parent and teacher should read. There's one book that he recommends to parents by name, and he calls it a golden book on the education of youth. It was written by Cardinal Antoniano in the 16th century, the late 1500s. He was a disciple of St. Philip Neri, a great educator of youth, and he wrote this book for parents on the education of children. He wrote it at the command of St. Charles Borromeo, who then ordered it to be read to all parents from the pulpit on a series of Sundays. And in this book, Cardinal Antoniano has multiple chapters in which he reminds parents that if you don't train your children when they're young to virtue, they will form bad habits and vices which will ruin their life and their eternity. And in one chapter in which he speaks of this, he asks the question, how early should you begin to train your children? What age is it proper to start to form virtue in a little child and to combat vice? And he says, even though there are those who might say that in order to do this, there must be some use of reason in the child, who in the early years is very much like an animal, incapable of discipline, and lacking the ability of understanding good and in the beginning to this care, not waiting until the child has reached the use of reason. It is not necessary for children to understand why they do a thing or why they do not, why they follow or why they flee. It is sufficient that they accustom themselves to act thus or not to act thus. From small beginnings, with a few minor acts, not surpassing the ability of the little child, a good habit is introduced, or at least a certain disposition. In regard to this, one cannot determine a certain age as being the proper time for the beginning of education for all children, because they all differ in temperament, intelligence, and race. The method of educating and governing, together with many other pertinent matters, would be understood more readily by some than by others. But when the child attempts to free himself from his swaddling clothes, not only with his tears, but also with his hands and the movements of the body, I would say that he is making a certain attempt to express the affections of the soul. At this time, if I am not mistaken, there is place for some attention to be given to prudent education, which attention becomes greater, however, from time to time. He, after going on a little more, speaking of the importance of forming virtue in children, when John goes on to conclude, generally speaking, one sees that when a child is about a year and a half to two, he will act just as he has been shown or as he has observed in others. This would include little acts of virtue, such as hearing with reverence the name of God, venerating the sacred images, outwardly honoring his father and mother, receiving with deference an article from the hands of others, and many similar worthwhile observances and practices. Therefore, I do think it is wise to spend as much time as possible in the beginning of education, first with little things, and continuing them then proportionately with greater, from time to time, with much solicitude and vigilance, remembering always that leading a child to such a state of perfection that he will be a good Christian is not as easy a job as one would think. In fact, it is not less exhaustive than it is important. And you see, that obviously involves a great deal of time and attention, which is the reason why mothers should stay in the home, as God ordained, and as Pius XII said, that the family is crying for the mother to come back to the home. Mothers in modern society have left the care of the children to others, but God has given the mother alone that special ability in the early education of the child. And so many of these things Cardinal Antoniano mentions, these training to virtue from the very earliest age, would be overlooked in the case where the mother did not have as much time to spend with her child. And what if we wait until later? We see Cardinal Antoniano says you can't. You can't wait until the child has a full understanding of things. By then, the child has already formed certain habits of throwing tantrums and getting his way, and we make it very difficult to counteract those things. We start to teach a little child certain good behaviors, start to teach them words and letters, even before they understand why you're teaching them the alphabet. And so Cardinal Antoniano says it's the same. When you train them to virtue, initially they will not understand maybe why they must do certain things or not do certain things. But they need to learn those before they do understand the reason, because if they don't, then it will be too late to overcome those passions and vices of human nature. And this was also why the Council of Trent insisted the children, the boys that are going to the priesthood, should be preserved and kept from the dangers of the world, that they should go to the minor seminary from the age of 12. The Council of Trent said, if the period of youth is not well instructed and guided, it is prone and inclined to follow the likes and wishes of the world. Therefore, if from early childhood they are not formed and habituated to piety and to religion, before the habit of vice possesses the whole man, they will never perfectly, nor without great and almost miraculous help from Almighty God, persevere in that which pertains to ecclesiastical life. This is the Church herself speaking in that great Council of Trent. And this too was why Pope Pius X issued his decree on early First Communion. He lamented in that decree that by being made to wait to receive communion, many children, before they even received our Lord for the first time, had lost their innocence of soul through mortal sin. And he insisted they must be allowed recourse to our Lord to combat those developing passions before they become strong. He said they must be allowed to make communion before they have full use of reason. He said they only need some, the beginning of the use of reason, and they only need to know four truths of the faith: that God exists, one God that made everything, that he rewards the good and punishes the wicked, in other words, they know there's a heaven and hell, that there are three persons in one God, and that one of those persons became man to die on the cross for our sins. And Pius X said, when they know those things and they know that Holy Communion is not bread but Jesus himself that comes to them, then they should receive him. And he will do more for their soul than the parents, priests, and teachers could ever do to lead them to virtue. So think of these things. If you want to raise a holy family, start early with the children, give them a pious home, a pious example, yourself, and going frequently to the sacraments. St. Anthony Claret said that in his experience, the only way to preserve the innocence of children is through frequent confession and communion. But what if they never see their parents making use of confession, or rarely? Maybe not even going to communion. Give them that example, a pious home. Shelter them during those years when they're fighting the passions, especially those teenage years. Keep dangers away from them, lest you have to lament their fall. Give them a Catholic education. Anything that can preserve a child from dangers in a public school. And they're greatly mistaken, the vast majority fall away. And the father of a family wouldn't, for example, take a job where there's an 80% chance that everything he worked for, all his retirement, would be lost. But with the children, it's not their retirement, it's their eternal happiness that can be lost, and very easily is lost in a non-Catholic school, no matter how many safeguards you take. Educate them in a Catholic school or at home, and you will do a great good for their soul. And lastly, pray for your children. Pray for yourselves, the grace you need to be good parents, and pray for all